The first Bible reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever.
And our second reading is Revelation 6, verses 1 to 17. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed him, and power was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little longer, until both their number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked, he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs. When it is shaken by a mighty wind, then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's good to be back again and continuing on the series in Revelation. And today we're looking at chapter 6. And I want to say that 17 verses in chapter 6. And the last time I preached on this a few years ago, I broke it up into two bits. So I did the first three seals and then did the next four seals. But today I'm going to try to do all the seven seals. As we look at this chapter, and you know that we had two readings today, but I deliberately read, chapter 5 to be read. Because chapter 6 follows on a wonderful, and I want to call it the best praise and worship service ever. If you look at that chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, thank you, Memphis, for reading that to us. That was very good. And as I read that, and I thought, that's going to be one of the best song services in heaven. What a great time that's going to be. All because the Lamb, Jesus, the only one who was able. If you were following the preaching of God's word week by week, you'd notice that no one was worthy to open that scroll. And there was weeping. Everyone was worried that no one in heaven was until the Lamb, Jesus, the Son of God, the only one slain from the foundation of the world, was able to take that scroll and to break its seven seals. And he's the only one who was worthy to open it. Here's a picture of the seals, the best scroll I can find. It's not the one that I envisage and used in the past, but that's the best I can do. If you notice, that's a scroll, and every time the seal was broken, one of the scrolls was opened. So just to give you an idea of what seven seals look like. Only six seals of judgment are opened in this chapter. The seventh seal is opened in chapter 8 and chapter 9, just before the seven trumpets are blasted. So you've got the seven seals, the seven bowls, the seven trumpets, and just keep waiting. There's a lot of sevens in the book of Revelation. Jesus steps up and unrolls the scroll. And by opening one seal at a time, he demonstrates something. Now I want you this morning, rather than looking at the cold, hard word on your page, I want you to imagine yourself with John on the Isle of Patmos. And I want you to imagine John standing there. If you've gone out somewhere in the night when there's no lights of the city around and looked up into the sky, you'd see the stars. And I imagine that's what John must have seen. More than that, he must have been taken up with all that happened, and he was there in the presence of God. And I've often looked there and said, I wonder if the sky will burst open and Jesus will come. I've often thought that. It might happen one day. I'm sure it will. But Jesus, I want you to be with John now as John sees this whole scene in heaven, and he's watching Jesus take the scroll. Jesus starts unrolling the plans and the purposes of God as he breaks each seal. The first four seals are opened very quickly, one after the other. The first four seals are widely known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You've heard that before? Now, that's what it means. And there are many interpretations put to that. And I want you to forget about all those interpretations, all those charts you had, all those things, and I want you to stand with John. Because John's the one recorded this for us. Try to picture what John is saying. Try to get the picture of what Jesus is trying to do to reveal to his church. Remember the seven churches we looked at? Now, Jesus is wanting to impress something more upon his church, and I believe it's relevant for us today. Here it says, as some of them have given these four horses, different things, they've attributed to different things. Some say war, famine, pestilence, death, and I won't go through all that. You've got your lists. But we are then left with a clear question in verse 17. Who can stand against God? That's what John is trying to get across. That's what Jesus and heaven is trying to get across to us today. Who can stand against God? Secondly, who can stand before him? There's two questions right at the end of this chapter, which we'll come to. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Let's look at verses 1 and 2. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first seal of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say, with a voice like thunder. Wow, just imagine that. Standing with John and listening to this voice coming like thunder. Come! I looked up and I saw. Now, John could have heard that as the first living being could have called John, say come. Or he could have called the first horse out. I believe he called both. Come. When someone with a thundering voice says, come. I can't do it, but I could imagine the vibration of that voice. And he says, I looked up and saw a white horse. Standing there, its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. I want you to remember that God is giving John this option, and Jesus wants him to see the whole spectrum of God's plans and purposes in these seven seals. And so don't try to compartmentalize it. That's what we do. Many people have come up with all kinds of books and theories and all that. Someone asked me some time ago, am I an amillennialist or a millennialist? And I said, I'm not an amillennialist. I'm not a millennialist. I'm not a premillennialist, postmillennialist. I'm a panmillennialist. And they said, what's that? It'll all pan out according to God's plan and purpose. Amen? Good. Someone's saying amen here, but what about you? Look at this. John receives a special invitation from the first living being. He says, come up. Come. And I looked up and I saw. And John saw a white horse. I want to call this the white horse that Jesus is sitting on. Because no one is crowned but Jesus. It's only the whole scale of God's purposes. God's revealing this to John. Remember, it's a revelation. And here's the white horse that comes with the rider. I know there's many theories out there. I'm leaving the theories aside today. It's not a Bible study today. I wish we had a couple of hours to go through this. We can talk about all that. But this is the pure church. A reference to the pure church that God is looking for. Jesus is coming for a spotless, holy, blameless church. He's coming. And this rider carried a bow in his hand. And on his head was placed a golden crown. And he rode to conquer and be victorious. Now many Christians around the world, and there may be some I'm speaking to this morning, who may be thinking, where is the victory? Remember, Jesus is the one who has the victory. In our own strength, we can't be victorious. But with Christ, we can do it. And the rider on the white horse, symbolic of coming for the pure body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, he carried a bow to defeat anything. What are you going through today in your life as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Go to him. He will protect. He will guide. He will defeat everything in your life. Upon his head was placed the golden crown. And he's the conqueror. He rode out to conquer and be victorious. When Jesus came, remember, he came to die. And he wasn't put in the grave there. That's the beauty about celebrating Easter. He's no longer in the grave. Everyone else is in the grave. But Jesus rose and ascended to heaven and is coming back again. I better not spend too much time on these verses, but here's the next one, verses 3 and 4. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. Then another horse appeared, a red one this time. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Now, I want to say this to you. John is looking at the whole plan of God being revealed to him in the heavens. From the first to the end. And when John got this, it was many thousands of years ago. We're certainly somewhere in that span of God's plan. And John has given us the whole revelation for us to look at and not build up theories on this, but look at it in the span of God's purposes for us. So the second one is opened. And this rider comes to the earth and destroys and takes peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. John receives a special invitation this time. And the second living being gets this invitation from the second living being. And he calls out, and John saw the rider on the red horse. And I wondered what this was. And I thought about it. Many theories again. The red thing reminds us of the blood of Jesus. And for the sinning church to be reminded again, I think this is symbolic. The red horse is symbolic of the red blood of Christ that's available for the sinning church. Remember the seven churches again? I ask you to remember those. And to the sinning church, the blood of Christ is available because this rider came to the earth to take away peace. He was given the authority to take peace from the earth. And there's been no peace ever since Jesus came, because there will be no peace on this earth. Jesus said, when they say peace and safety, then there'll be sudden destruction. Everyone's looking for peace without the Prince of Peace. But here we find the rider was given a mighty sword and the authority. And the authority was given to him to remove peace from the earth. War and slaughter was everywhere. I wonder if we're living in days like that today. In the last few centuries, I wonder if the world is moving in God's plan and purposes. Regardless of what happens in the world, God's plan is unfolding. Whether we believe it or whether we want to accept it or not, God is still on the throne. And he's trying to reveal this to John so that the churches will read and understand. Let's go to the third seal, verses 5 and 6. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being saying, "Come." I looked up and saw a black horse and its rider. I apologize this morning that I can't spend a lot of time on these verses. I wish I could. I feel like it, but I can't. And its rider, I'll keep you till midday if I did. And its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings saying, "A loaf of wheat, bread, and three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and wine." How many times have you heard the words, "Don't waste that"? I'm sure we've heard it many times. I know my parents said it. I said it to my children. I'm sure they're saying it to their children. And so on. Don't waste it. Because I remember things that you pay for today, when you look at the prices they were 20 years ago. I know when I first came to this country, not telling you when, but when I first came, petrol was 34 cents a liter. Wow. Wow. What's it today? I didn't check. You know, that's in God's overall scheme, God is showing. We will go through these phases in God's purposes. John receives a special invitation. He sees the black horse. What does black remind you of? Corruption. Death. Sin. And when we looked at those seven churches, what about the corrupt church? Yes. And this rider is holding the scales in his hand. And a voice from the middle of the four living beings says, "A loaf of wheat bread and three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay." I remember my mom and dad saying, when they got married, they were able to manage on such little. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But the loaf of bread was just a couple of cents, I think, compared to what it is today. And so it has moved. It has changed. Nothing gets cheaper. I've not come across that in my lifetime. Everything gets more expensive. You go to the shops and compare the shop prices every year, every 12 months, you'll see that they've gone up. They're going up Nothing goes up, nothing comes down. And here we find that this rider, the black horse, is saying to the church, the corrupt church, you're going to be weighed in the balance and you're going to be found wanting. All of us are going to be weighed in God's balance. A pair of scales. We are living in difficult days. Things are not getting cheaper, they're getting more expensive. According to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, the false prophet in Jerusalem will control commerce. Ultimately, it's coming to that. It's moving. Time is moving on in God's plan and purpose to all the events of God's overall plan for this world. And he's going to control commerce during the tribulation. I don't believe we're there yet, but we're on our way to it. Making it extremely difficult for believers to purchase basic commodities during the tribulation. Now, I just heard the other day someone saying that we're not going to be using cash anymore. I know this about 25 years ago. I heard someone say, we're going to have a day coming when we'll be a cashless society. I couldn't believe it. Because we never had plastic cards, I think, 25 years ago. But now we do have plastic cards. Now they can do away with that too. I wonder if it's moving toward the mark of the beast on your forehead or in the palm of your hand. So you can just scan it and let's go. Now they do it with the mobile phones. It's all moving towards. And someone will rise one day to control the commerce during the tribulation. Unless you have the mark of the beast, you won't be able to receive anything. I can't spend time on that. Let's move on to verses 7 and 8. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. One third of the earth was set on fire. One third of the earth of the trees were burned, and all green grass was burned. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One third of the water in the sea became blood. One third of all living things in the sea died, and one third of all the ships on the seas were destroyed. Last year, did we ever think we're going to see no planes in the sky? Everyone locked down? No one thought that. No one ever dreamed about it. And here we notice that in verses 7 and 8, we have a third of everything on the earth that's going to disappear. I wonder how far away we are from that happening. Because the third living being, the fourth seal was broken, and this is what happened. And I know the third seal must have been broken because things are getting more expensive and moving towards that cashless society when we ultimately may have to take the mark of the beast, but I don't think we'll be here. Don't ever, if anyone's there when that happens, don't take it. I warn you. Let's look at this, the fourth rider. And the fourth rider comes out on a pale horse, the dead church, I want to call it. The pale horse. The rider named Death, and his companion was the grave and hell. Power was given to them over a quarter of the earth. Power to kill with a sword, famine, disease, and wild animals. And we notice here that in this passage that when death comes, it takes everyone. We're living in that day today. How many people around the globe have passed away in the last few months? I wonder if this is part of what God is saying is going to happen on this earth before he comes again. I believe his coming is closer than we think. I got to move on. Time's running away. Verses 9 and 10. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Since the church was established after Jesus went, there have been martyrs along the way, and they have a special place in heaven. Wonderful. everyone who's being martyred even today for the sake of Jesus Christ, they have this place. And, they're under there, under the altar there, in the presence of God. They have a special place, and they're shouting out, "Lord, how long are we going to wait?" And the Lord says, "I'm going to do something special for you. Just hang in there." And why were they martyred? They were martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. And even till today, the stories I've read over the years and reading today, happening in many countries around our world, of men and women who are not prepared to bow their knee to anything else but Jesus Christ and lose their lives for it. They are the martyrs, the martyred church, I'd like to call them. The body of Christ, the martyred ones who have a special place for being faithful in their testimony and faithful to the word of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us?" And the answer comes by in verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them. They get a special encounter with God. They were given each a special white robe. And they were told to rest a little longer. Just rest a little longer. You put on this white robe. Just picture it. John is watching this happening. Until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had been joined with them. So till they come, we have to wait. So wear these robes till they come and join you. And I believe that every day there are people from around the world joining this martyred church under the altar in God's presence. Each of them received a white robe, and they were asked to rest a little longer until the full number of the martyrs arrive. Verses 12 to 14, I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal. I wish I could spend time on each of these, but I can't. And there was a great earthquake after the sixth seal was broken. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. The sky was rolled like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Look at that. What a scene. And the Lord is saying, John, I'm revealing these things to you because this is going to take place on the earth. You know, when they talked about the blood moon, I think a couple of years ago, I remember we were at Phillip Island, and I went out that night and had a look at it, and it was completely black. And I looked at it and took a picture of it, and it didn't come out too good, but we saw it in the paper the next day. And this is happening today, folks. Great earthquakes in many places that we least expect it to happen is happening. And this is happening. This is the end time church, I'd like to call it. Symbolic of what's happening in the end times. And we are in those times. You and I are living in those days today. We need to take note of that. So don't look at all the things that's happening around you. Look up. For Jesus said, when these things happen, look up. A great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth. The moon became as red as blood. The stars fell to the earth like green figs shaken from the tree by a mighty wind. I wish I could spend time on this. The sky was rolled up like a scroll. Wow. And looking straight into all the universes up there. And we're captured by the glory of all God's creations, which eye has not seen yet. Mountains and islands moved from their places. And I wondered if all the nations, the land, began to join together back to where they came from. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just one land mass. Jesus might come straight there. I don't know. I'm just imagining. But Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen. This is the revelation. Jesus let us know this in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. This is what he said. Immediately after the anguish of those days, Jesus said this when he was here. The sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then at last, the sign of the Son of Man is coming that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. And there will be deep mourning among all the people on the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I know you're talking about the first coming after his ascension and the second coming again. We won't go into that today. But I want to finish off with verses 15 to 17. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers and the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and even the slaves and the free people, all hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" That's the question. The kings and the earthly rulers, the generals, everyone, all the mighty, all the kings and the generals and the mighty people who govern the nations will all cry out for mercy, will want to hide, because they say, "Fall on us and cover us." They won't want to see the face of Jesus, for the great day of his wrath is coming. How far away are we from that day? I want to leave you with that question. How far away are we from that day? I've just painted a picture, an overview of this chapter for you, of all the seals and all the happenings in this world which are happening today, and there's a few more to come. Get ready. That's the word. The Lamb on the throne didn't die for nothing. If you don't know Jesus today, bow your knee to him. You won't worry about these things happening. I don't have a care in the world, because I know the day is coming when I'm looking forward to seeing him face to face, and I'll join that happy song service and sing, and I'll get Ashton to play the piano for me. Amen. We'll sing Glory to God. Father, we want to say thank you for this chapter. There's so much in this chapter. We want to ask you to give us an inspiration, a revelation from this chapter as we reread it again. I pray, Lord, that you would use this chapter for your glory, to inspire us to be those kind of men and women, boys and girls, to live our lives according to your will, according to your purpose, regardless of all that happens around us. I pray that you'd keep us on the victory side. With Christ in the vessel, we can shine and look forward to the storm. In Jesus' holy and wonderful name we ask. Amen.